Matthew chapter 7 in your Bible. And remember also to pray for Brother Leeper and Matthew, the death of Brother Leeper's mom, Matthew's grandmother. Pray for them in these days, all right? Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, look in verse 15. We're going to read beginning there. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I'm afraid sometimes we read a verse like that, and it's easy for a lot of people to see and hear that admonition and think, well, hey, there's really nothing there for me in that scripture today because, hey, you know, there are no prophets today. Now, some of that statement is true, all right? Some of it's correct. There are no prophets today in the biblical sense, all right? There's not. Prophets, though, cover that word prophet. When we talk about prophets, prophets cover those who are foretellers, and that's what we think of in Bible times. The biblical prophets were foretellers. They were the one that God allowed to look down through time and see things that were coming, and then to tell the people those things were coming. That's why we're blessed with a Bible that lets us know what's coming down the road, all right? We can look and see what's happening in our world and realize, hey, it's all according to the plan of God. God said these things were going to happen. But the word prophet also calls to mind one who is a foreteller. We might even compare him like to a preacher who gives forth the truth of God, all right? But there are false prophets, okay? That, and it's a great warning that the Bible's given us to beware of that. I think about every time I think about prophets and today's day, I can't help but remember the old radio show that was on KSKY years ago, and they called it the Prophecy, I think they called it the Prophecy Club, and they talked about folks that they said were modern day prophets, and they were talking about, you know, how these people had prophesied this or that or something else, you know, and I would listen to it really, you know, maybe wrongly, but I listened to it for a laugh. Because I thought, man, you folks are out in left field. He said, preacher, why do you say that? Because of Isaiah chapter 8. Because of Isaiah chapter 8. If you want to turn over there, Isaiah chapter 8, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. This is what I've always thought of. By the way, this is what I think of when I think of false prophets in our day too, all right? In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19, the Bible says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Boy, I like that. Amen. Wizards that peep and mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Then the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's no light in them. You say, if they speak according to what? This word. This word right here. Anything that you hear today that contradicts anything in this book, there's no light in it, and there's no light in the one that's giving it. Now, if it contradicts anything in this book, you can just discount it. You say, well, preacher, how can you be so sure about that? Because the canon of the scripture ended at Revelation 22:21. All right, that was the end of it, and God closed it up. That's what he wants us to know. We don't need any other light, if you will, from anywhere else. It's right here. We've got all we can handle right here in the Word of God. So don't listen to them. You know, on the other hand, I think you can make a good argument there's more false prophets today than any other time in history. I mean, hey, we're living in the last days. The devil is working overtime to deceive everyone he possibly can. Now, I want you to notice the context of our text, okay? I want you to notice the context of our text, all right? We back up there to verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And immediately after that, the Bible said, beware of false prophets. The context of our text is dealing with life and death. It's dealing with life and destruction. Hey, not just physical death, but eternal death. Not just physical life, but eternal life. And false prophets are always wrong on the matter of salvation. They're always, they want to add something to it. They want to take something away from it. And so the Bible gives us the admonition, beware of false prophets. Let me just give you a couple of things to look out for, to be watchful for, and this is why you ought to beware. First of all, because they're deceivers. They are deceivers. They will do everything they can to deceive people. There, if you're back there, all right, if you're back there in Matthew chapter 7, look, if you will, verse 15, they're deceptive in their appearance. The Bible said they'll come to you in sheep's clothing. The picture is they'll come to you as a believer. Hey, the Bible said that's what we are. We're the sheep of His pasture. That's us, the sheep of His pasture. The Bible said that false prophet, he's going to come in sheep's clothing. He's going to be deceptive in appearance. Their appearance is going to be good. They're going to look the part. They even look sharp, all right? But you can't tell the false prophet by merely looking at that individual, all right? Because they can look good. They can sound good. They can sound good. And we have to realize that. They're very deceptive, all right? Very deceptive. I think they're not only deceptive in their appearance, but they're deceptive in their approach to you. All right? Their approach. They're going to seem innocent. Going to come gently. Hey, I'm a Christian too, you know. I'm a believer too. They're not going to come and begin by preaching open heresy. Hey, can I remind you, Jim Jones didn't start by making Kool-Aid. All right? That's not the way he started. He started, and if you will, I say it this way, he wormed his way in. He gained the trust, he gained the confidence of people, and he was a false prophet, all right? A false prophet. That's them. They're very deceptive. We can be deceived if we're not careful. And we have a tendency to get deceived sometimes by the way things look and the way things sound. And here comes that false prophet. He's going to always come in and come innocently, you know, seemingly guilelessly. But you need to remember, not only is a false prophet deceptive, but he's a destroyer. A destroyer. Look with me over in Acts chapter 20, would you? Acts chapter 20. This is the Apostle Paul near the end, really, of his life and his ministry. And He gives a warning, all right? He gives a warning in Acts chapter 20, down in verse 28, all right? Uh, he He says in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." But then he says this in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Okay? Paul warned us, and what we're seeing today would come. He warned us. He said that it's going to come. He said, after I'm gone, there's grievous wolves going to come in, not sparing the flock of God. Look, folks, you need to understand the church. I believe that's the picture of the flock of God. The church is God's method, and it's God's organization to reach the world, all right? It's through the local church. It's not through other organizations. It is through the church, all right? That's what God instituted. He began the church. He commissioned the church. He gave us that job, reaching the world, get the gospel to all the world, and do your best to do that, all right? But so if there's one thing that the false prophet wants to do and the devil wants to use that false prophet to do, it's to destroy the flock of God. To destroy the flock of God. Hey, multitudes coming in teaching false doctrine, drawing away disciples to follow men rather than God. All right? Trying to draw them away and to start something else. Get you out of the church over here to something else. Want to get that thing started. Why? Because it'll destroy the church. It'll destroy the church. Let me just talk about First Baptist Church for a few minutes, all right? Up here on these walls, you see the names of missionaries. That's not all the missionaries we support, because we've taken new ones on since we made these. You say, well, when are you going to bring them up to date? Always before mission conference. We redo them, bring them up to date, all right? Add the names of people we've taken on, all right? If First Baptist Church dissolved tomorrow and was gone, it would leave all these missionaries in a difficult position, because their support that they've counted on wouldn't show up. It would not be there. Now, I'm not saying that to brag on us. I'm saying that to you and I to understand it's the church that God's commissioned to reach the world. And if there's one thing the devil would like to do is destroy the flock of God. Because if that church is destroyed, those missionaries now go lacking. I can't help but think about the great Highland Park Baptist Church under Dr. Lee Robertson. Supported hundreds of missionaries. Today it is a shell, if even that, of its former self, because they got the wrong person. They got the wrong person to pastor. And I wonder about the missionaries that they supported. Multitude of missionaries. They've had to either come back or seek to raise additional support. Why? Hey, the deceiver, the destroyer, would love to do that. Now, I'll be honest with you, when it comes, you say, well, who are you talking about? I kind of hesitate to name names because I'm afraid in our day folks will look them up. And say, well, what's wrong with that? Because we have a tendency, it's the same old deal, you know, wet paint, and we've got to touch it. Stay off the grass. Got to step on it. There's just something within us. We get warned against something, we think, I need to take a look at it. I need to go see what's going on. And say, what's wrong with that? Because sometimes there'll be some that'll go and investigate, get sucked in, and get pulled away from the truth. Such a sad thing to do it, all right? Because there's something about false prophets. They're always very smooth. They're always very convincing in their delivery. All right? I don't know if you've ever listened to Louis Farrakhan. And I'm not encouraging you to go listen. But if you listen to him and you put out the truth of the Word of God, he's a smooth speaker. Man, I mean, he's a smooth-talking rascal. But man, is he forevermore a false prophet. Forevermore a false prophet. But man, he sounds good. He knows how to talk. And it's amazing you when you corner some of these fellows and begin to talk to them, it's amazing what they don't say when they answer the questions that are asked. It's kind of like talking to a politician. Politicians only answer questions they want to answer. And other than that, they shift it. But sometimes in answering questions, the words that, unless you listen very carefully and really consider the words they use, you don't realize that they've answered your question, but they've truly not told you what they really believe. They've just kind of directed the flow somewhere else. All right? So they're a destroyer. They're going to destroy the flock of God. There's nothing they would like to do more than, I think, destroy a church. But not only that, they seek, I believe, to destroy the faith. You say, what faith? The one that's once delivered to the saints, as the Bible tells us in the third verse of Jude. The faith once delivered to the saints. Go with me over to 2 Peter chapter 2, all right? Take your Bible there, 2 Peter chapter 2. I want you to look at some verses here and notice what the Bible has to say to us. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But wait a minute, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now I want you to notice when it says, when I talk to you about destroying the faith, notice the kind of about midway through of verse 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Hey, false prophets, false teachers cause people to speak evil of the way of truth. And cause people to accuse those who stick to the truth and stick with the Word of God to be belittled, to be talked against, to be talked down. Hey, in such a way, the faith that's once delivered can be destroyed. It can be destroyed. That's why in this day, the way of truth is becoming harder and harder to find. Hey, it used to be you could pretty much pick a church, and you could hear a lot of truth. A lot of truth. Now, they might not have been right biblically on everything, but at least you could hear the gospel and get saved. Man, I mean, you could pick a Methodist church, you'd hear the gospel. You'd pick a Presbyterian church, you'd hear the gospel. And we could go on and on. You could hear the gospel. But today, that's not true anymore, folks. That is not true at all. And there are so many churches today you can go to that you don't hear the truth. I can't begin to tell you how many people I've talked to that tell me they're faithful in church, and they name the church they go to, and when I talk to them about salvation, they have no confidence. They're born again. Thursday night, Brother Blanton and I were out, and we went to the wrong house. And I told him later it wasn't the wrong house. It was the right house. But we knocked on the door, and amazingly in this day, man came out. And he was willing to talk to us. And we got to talking to him, and it went round and round. It was hard to get him to the gospel, but We got back there, and he said, yeah, this is what I do. I usually, and he told us where he really not so much attended, but he said, I try to faithfully watch the video from this particular church. And he told us, and as we talked to him, I said, well, listen, let me ask you this. I said, look, the most important thing I'm concerned about is, do you know for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't know that for sure. Now, I don't know about you, but it just overwhelms me that people you talk to that profess, you say, well, do you think they really go to church? Yes, I do. I think they're going, they're hearing, but what they're hearing is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go, but yet they don't know they're saved. They don't even know how to be saved. Because when I asked him, how can you know? He didn't say anything about trust the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood, go to the cross. He didn't say anything about that. Nothing. All he talked about was works. Folks, I'll tell you, that bothers me. You say, why are you worried? Because of false teachers, false prophets. The way of truth is evil spoken of. People oftentimes in the world, us independent fundamental Baptist people are not put up at the top, all right? We're not, hey, there's not many independent Baptists going to be invited to the White House. They're just not, okay? They're not going to be invited to pray at the inauguration. You say, why not? Well, because we're looked down. They say, well, y'all are dogmatic. Amen. Well, we just happen to believe we have the truth, and if you have the truth, you stick with the truth. Amen. You don't go swap it off for something else. And that's why the Bible tells us, beware of false prophets. You said, why does it do it? Because by reason of whom those false prophets, the way of truth, shall be evil spoken of. Evil spoken of. And people no longer, you don't hear the word of God. They don't know how to be saved. They're not saved. We could talk about, well, there's this church, they've never had it right. Wait a minute, there's a multitude of them. Billy Sunday wasn't an independent Baptist, but he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. And multitudes of people were saved. And you say, well, do you think you have the only one that have the truth? No, everybody's got access to it. We've just turned our back on it. Why? A lot of it because of false prophets. And we have people standing in pulpits today saying it's not necessary to believe in the virgin birth, it's not necessary to believe in the miracles in the Bible. They weren't really true. And it's going down the line and deny all the fundamentals of the faith. And basically what they're telling you is live right, do the best you can, and you'll get to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. So the question then becomes, preacher, how do we learn, how do we identify those that are false? How do we identify? I want you to go to 1 John. We're at 2 Peter. 1 John is the next book over, all right? 1 John chapter 4. Would you look with me at one verse? Verse 1. The Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hey, God's people have to learn to be more discerning. Be more discerning. We live in a day when if it's new, everybody thinks, ooh, we got to do it. We got to try that. You ought not to be taken in because something is new or it's popular. Be honest with you, I have found over my lifetime, the longer I live, if it's popular, it's probably not right. It's just probably not right, okay? We have to learn to try the spirits. We have to learn, hey, don't be quick to jump on the bandwagon. In my lifetime and in the ministry, I've seen many new innovations come and go during my life. I've even seen a lot of fundamental Baptists jump on things when they shouldn't have. They should have waited a little bit longer. They should have tried the spirits, okay? They should try the spirits. Hey, when some great, what the world will look at as a great sinner gets saved, I think we ought to be careful about inviting them to the platform to give their testimony in a hurry. We ought to just wait a little bit, all right? You say, preacher, you don't think people get saved? I believe you get saved instantaneously, and I believe God can change you in a heartbeat. But boy, sometimes we need to hang in there a little bit, all right? We need to just hang on. Sometimes we've been too quick to jump if some great athlete or some big entertainer, all of a sudden, hey, just need to check it out, all right? Truth will always stand the test of time. Always stand the test of time. If somebody comes in the door at church, gets saved today, baptized next Sunday, clean up and come the next Sunday, well, the fourth Sunday, we're not going to make them a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. All right? We're going to wait. We're going to wait. People need a little seasoning along the way. And sometimes, man, when we hear about something new and this new fad, if you will, that comes along, if we'd wait just a little bit and have a little discernment about it, back up and say, I'm going to watch and keep my eyes open, we wouldn't be taken in by stuff, all right? It's important we identify those that are false prophets. Remember what Matthew chapter 7 said? Let's go back there, all right? Because Matthew chapter 7 said to us, beware of false prophets in verse 15. Verse 16 said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Verse 20, in case you missed it, in verse 16, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Hey, check out the fruit. Hey, just what exactly what's being produced? What's being produced? I'm careful when I say what I'm going to say here. I've seen some individuals seemingly just blossom all of a sudden, man, and here comes the crowd and everything. But man, when you begin to look and see what's produced, what's produced doesn't stand the test of truth. Sometimes it just doesn't do it. We live in a day, I believe, of very shallow Christianity. Very, very shallow Christianity. And people, that's why when anything happens, now we have to have counselors take care of them. Because there's no depth to their Christianity. There's no stability to them, all right? They're easily swayed in the wind, all right? So we need to check out, hey, what are they producing? What's being produced by these folks? Are they really producing godly individuals that are standing the test of time? Hey, we've got a big organization right up the street. Right up the street. And the folks that I've dealt with from there are shaky. Very, very shaky. All right? So I'm looking at what they're producing. Hey, I suggest this. Who are they running with? You learn a lot by watching who folks will fellowship and identify with. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 17. All right? Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, and in my Bible, the heading over the chapter of Acts 17 says, the founding of the church at Thessalonica. And it says in verse 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But look at the first word in verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Hey, they were willing, that unbelieving crowd was willing to associate with those that the Bible says were lewd fellows of the baser sort. They were willing to spend time with them. They were willing to fellowship with them. They were willing to be identified with them. You need to check out who is it people will fellowship with. Who will they be identified with? Hey, are their close associates those that are godly individuals? Are their close, let me rephrase that. Are their close associates among those whom godly individuals keep at arm's length? And say, we're going to be careful about getting too close with that. Hey, you need to examine that kind of thing. It will help you to have discernment. And then it's good to look and say, what is actually being built? I believe with all my heart that most false prophets seek to build a monument to themselves. Or a personal empire. And I've seen it play out that way. Hey, you need to identify those that are false prophets. And go back to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Once you've identified them, Romans 16 verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Of the simple. Hey, you look out for those that'll cause division and strife needlessly. Keep an eye on them. Make sure these new ideas that we hear are scriptural. Test it with the word of God. Remember what Isaiah chapter 8 said? If they speak not according to this word, there's no truth in them. No truth in them. Listen, folks, thank God we have the word of God. We have the word of God. That's one reason this book is attacked, okay? Because we look at the word of God as our measuring stick. We see how, if you want to see how you're doing as a Christian, don't measure yourself with another person. Don't do that. Hey, when kids are growing, a lot of people, they have a ruler on the doorpost or on the wall, you know, and they'll mark as the kids are growing. Wonderful, that's wonderful. But when you're measuring your Christianity, you don't go find another Christian and say, I'm as good as they are. You don't find one and say, well, I'm not as good, so I need to work harder. You don't find one that you're better the Christian than they are and say, I'm doing good. They're not the measuring stick. Amen. I'm not the measuring stick for your Christianity. Brother Dunbar's not the measuring stick for your Christianity. Here's the measuring stick. You take your life and you put it up beside that and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? And you just measure it against that. And hey, it's a lot better to measure it against people, because against that, we don't look so good. But we can always find somebody that we say, I'm doing better than him. Doing better than her. But this is a measuring stick. That's why this book is attacked, because if we can get rid of that authority, that measuring stick, then the opinions of men become the measuring stick. Hey, the proliferation of false prophets, though on the other hand, should not cause us to hang our heads, but it ought to cause us to look up. What an encouragement it is to know your Bible. The Bible said, hey, in the last days, there are going to be plenty of false Christs, false prophets, false teachers. But man, when you know your Bible, you can spot the false much easier when you're familiar with that which is true. Familiar with that which is true. My wife and my daughter have a marvelous nose. Mine doesn't work near as well as theirs does. And my wife, she'll be saying, man, I don't think that's good. Smell of that. I smell of it, and I can't smell anything. She'll often say, you can't smell that? No. My man, she said, it's no good. It's no good. He said, well, how does she know? Well, she smelled that which is good. I mean, if I take a milk jug and smell of it, it's got to be 3 weeks past due before I can smell it, all right? It's got to be really. You said, well, how do you avoid it? I just don't drink milk, all right? Just don't drink milk. And don't have to worry about it, you know? But hey, it's what we know about that which is true that helps us to spot that which is false. If we know the truth, we can spot the false. I'll give you this illustration and I'm done. I'll never forget years ago, I was listening, I think it was one Sunday morning, to Jimmy Swaggart. You said, why? Well, for entertainment purposes, I guess. For this illustration, all right? I didn't know it was going to come. But Jimmy Swaggart was one of those that did not believe in eternal security. He thought that was a false, damnable doctrine. And I was listening to him. He was speaking. And he quoted this verse. And I'm sitting there listening and said, boy, this is going to be good. Because it talks about eternal security. But he stopped. In quoting that verse, he stopped. And I kept waiting on him to finish. I wanted to say, hey, Jimmy, finish what you got started, all right? But the rest of that verse contradicted his doctrine. And you know, every now and then I'll hear things and I'll think, man, just doesn't sound right. You ever felt that way? You hear something and say, man, it just doesn't sound right. And I'll get out my Bible and look and I'll go, boy, it's interesting the word they left out. Or it's interesting the word they changed. Nowadays, it's interesting when somebody begins quoting a scripture and I go, well, I don't know what that is, but that ain't the good old King James Bible. Don't know where it's coming from. Hey, it's because I've been exposed to the true that you can spot the false. Spot the false. Why is it so important that you not get led astray? That you not get led astray. He said, preacher, I've been saved for years, and man, I know what I believe, and I could name some preachers that most of y'all never heard of, or at least one that, he taught at the seminary when my dad went to college, Bible school. But in later years, he got messed up. Here's a guy that was faithful. He was a preacher of the Word of God, a man of God. He knew what was right. He taught it, and he was well respected. But in later years, pulled aside into false doctrine. Hey, don't think for a minute it can't happen to me or you, okay? It can. That's why when God says, beware. Okay, beware of false prophets. He's talking to us. He's talking to us. Man, I encourage you, study your Bible. Know your Bible. Know your Bible. Know what it says. I've heard people say, well, the Bible says, and they spit out something. I'm going, I don't know what Bible they've been reading because it sure doesn't say that. I think at one point in time I heard somebody say, the Bible says every kettle set on its own bottom. Not in any Bible I've ever read, okay? Hey, by the way, even the wrong ones, you know, that doesn't say that. Know the book, okay? Beware of false doctrine. Look, you guard yourself, all right? You guard yourself. Learn to have that discernment. Don't be quick to jump on something because it looks good. Don't be quick to do that. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight.